It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Wednesday morning, everyone. It's Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today on this April 25th. And yes, you just have 8 months until Christmas Day. So if you want to think about your Christmas shopping this morning, talking to my wife about that yesterday, hard to believe we're 4 months into this year. And yes, Hobby Lobby will have their Christmas stuff out pretty soon. It's just amazing how quickly the time is going. And I tell you what, a busy year. And there's much news to talk about this morning. Let's really get into it. You know, here's another reason why the Trump administration is exactly right in being suspicious about what has been going on with the Justice Department and the FBI. And if you needed more evidence than what you already have, here's the headline this morning. Comey, he's the former FBI director, James Comey, who's out there peddling his book right now. His memo leak contact had special government employee status at the FBI. So what's this all about? Remember how James Comey, his notes that he said he took during his conversations with President-elect Trump, managed to end up in the media. Well, what we know this morning is he had the help of a Columbia law professor who basically, his name is Daniel Reichman, and he was the go-between to get those memos leaked to the media. But here's something that we're learning this morning. This professor from Columbia University was given by James Comey a special status designation at the FBI. So not only was he a buddy, he was given a special status, a non-paid employee at the FBI, which gave him the right to look at classified material. Now, according to Fox News, while Reichman's portfolio included the use of encrypted communications by terror suspects, the sources said Reichman also was sent talking points about the FBI's handling of the Hillary Clinton email investigation. Those talking points attempted to compare and contrast Clinton's use of an unsecured personal server exclusively for government business with the case of retired General David Petraeus. Remember those media stories, folks? This was talking points from James Comey with his friend, the professor from Columbia University, leaking this out to the media. Now remember, Petraeus, he was out of the government when he shared classified information with his biographer and mistress, Paula Broadwell, as well as the case brought against the late Sandy Berger. The former National Security Advisor under President Clinton, he pleaded guilty to the unauthorized removal and retention of classified material from the National Archives. But this was after he was out. Remember, Hillary Clinton had this server while she was still Secretary of State. The Fox News story this morning also mentions another special government employee status given by Comey at the FBI that's come under scrutiny was Hillary Clinton's aide, Uma Abedin. Now, she's an aide to Hillary Clinton, but she got a special status, apparently, at the FBI. So once again, is it any wonder why President Trump is having fits over what's going on at the Justice Department? This just goes on and on and on. I mean, it's amazing to me the level of corruption that has gone on out there. And this goes all the way back. This doesn't end. If you're going up the food chain, this doesn't end at James Comey. This also goes up the ladder to then Attorney General Loretta Lynch, and I believe goes all the way to the Oval Office under President Barack Obama. And here's the thing, folks, that it's just so hard for us regular folks to understand. People involved with this scandal are still working at the FBI. Peter Strzok, who was appointed by James Comey to oversee the Hillary Clinton email investigation, we now know from memos and emails that Peter Strzok shared with his girlfriend, Lisa Page, he was a big fan of Hillary Clinton. Didn't put her under oath when he interviewed her in July of 2016. So you've got all of this out there now, and you got this Columbia law professor, good buddy of James Comey, who gets a special status and is given talking points to take to the media to compare what was going on with Hillary Clinton with Petraeus. I'll tell you what, you know, it's just, and sometimes we've had this discussion before, folks, I know, but where's Attorney General Sessions on all of this? How much of this stuff that's coming out is it going to take before Sessions takes some action on this? Like I said, for instance, why is Peter Strzok still working at the FBI? Why does he have top secret clearance at the FBI? These are the kinds of things that it's very difficult to understand. Now, remember, Attorney General Jeff Sessions recused himself from the Russia investigation, but he didn't recuse himself from the Hillary Clinton email investigation. So why isn't he taking action against Peter Strzok and all the things that we know about him? And, of course, the mainstream media has this love fest going on with James Comey right now in his book. Why isn't he being asked about these things, about his Columbia law professor friend who he gave special status to? I don't know. I don't know what it's going to take. Don't know what it's going to take. It's all part of that swamp that President Trump, the people of America, elected him president to try to deal with it. But, you know, when he's swimming against the current, he's not only got the Democrats in front of him, he's got some Republicans that it just takes. There's a few that are on his side, but very few. Well, another problem facing the president, of course, are our court system. Supreme Court is hearing arguments today on Trump's travel restrictions. Now, the media likes to call it a travel ban, but let's be very careful about this. What President Trump was trying to do was rein in how easy it was for people to come from Islamic countries that we knew and know are terror-sponsoring nations. It wasn't a ban. It was putting restrictions in place to make sure the vetting of these people who were applying to come to this country was a little bit more intensive than it was under President Barack Obama. So let's be very clear about that. And by the way, you'll see in the media over and over again from these mostly Muslim countries, well, no. These travel restrictions also applied to North Korea and Venezuela. Last time I looked, they weren't mostly Muslim countries. And so the Supreme Court, this is a big case, folks, because what it goes to the heart of in this case, does the President of the United States have the constitutional right to put greater restrictions in place on who is coming into this country? This is a matter of huge national security. So is it going to be the President or our court system that decides? You remember some of the lower court decisions came out and said, well, we remember what Trump, the candidate, said that, you know, he made some statements that made it sound like he's anti-Muslim. Therefore, we don't think his order is constitutionally correct. So your statements during an election campaign are all of a sudden being used to decide court cases. And if that wasn't enough, there's a federal judge yesterday, U.S. District Judge John D. Bates, basically has said, a federal judge, let me read the line, ruled that the Trump administration must resume a program that has shielded hundreds of thousands of young illegal immigrants, now you know we're talking about DACA, from deportation, but gave it 90 days to restate its arguments before the order takes place. The judge ruling in favor of Princeton University and the NAACP wrote yesterday that the administration's explanation was particularly egregious because it didn't mention that many of the hundreds of thousands of beneficiaries, now remember, we're talking about these illegal immigrants brought into the country as kids by their parents. This judge, in his ruling, said it was particularly egregious, Trump's willingness to end the DACA program. Remember, this is not a law. This is just an executive order from President Obama. And it had an end date on it. But this judge says it was particularly egregious for President Trump to put a period on this because it didn't mention that many of the hundreds of thousands of beneficiaries had obtained jobs and pursued education based on the assumption that they would be allowed to renew. Well, based on what assumption? An executive order is an executive order. It's not a law. And there has to be an end to executive orders. And remember, President Trump put forward a proposal to Congress. He would allow, make a pathway at least to legalize 1.8 million of these DACA. And Democrats, joined by Republicans, turned that down. He was more generous than what the Democrats were willing to offer these young people. But he got turned down. And yet now you have another federal judge who rules against him. And in connection with that, we have the Right Reverend Nancy Pelosi now passing judgment on those who are speaking out against giving citizenship to these at least 1.8 million DACA people, a pathway to citizenship, an automatic citizenship. Listen to what she had to say about those people out there that are speaking out for the rule of law. Cut number one.
It's about people, human beings, all God's children. They go to church on Sunday, a lot of these people who are so anti. And I say to them, I say to my colleagues, you pray in church on Sunday, and then you pray on people the rest of the week. What is this?
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing from Nancy Pelosi? She lecturing people who are standing up for the rule of law. But it goes beyond Nancy Pelosi. But, you know, Nancy Pelosi, I'd like to sit down with Nancy Pelosi and get her spiritual viewpoint on abortion. She has a problem with the slaughter of unborn babies. She fully supports Planned Parenthood. But there she is, speaking out against those and lecturing them about their Christian values. We're not praying on, and that is P-R-E-Y she was using there, we're not praying on these young people. In fact, once again, the president was offering a way out for them, but it was turned down by the Republicans and the Democrats in Congress. Because you know what? They don't want a wall on the southern border. This isn't about particular individuals. They want open borders. They wouldn't give the president the $25 billion or so that he wanted to finish and build the wall across our southern borders. They wouldn't give him that. Here's what it's all about, folks. It's about basically tearing down this country as a nation. Opening our borders up to everybody to come in. The redistribution of wealth to handle all of these people. Have we not learned anything from what's going on in the European Union? Open borders, everybody who arrives on your shore gets to stay and gets to live off the government. Have we not learned anything? Have we not learned anything from the Brits? Watch, which is why they want out of the European Union. Have we not learned that? Apparently not. Much more ahead here on Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in. 888-589-8840. Would love your comments on that. And when we come back also, we're going to be talking about this bill in California that many people believe is targeting Christian pastors and bookstores. It's a very, very dangerous bill. It has been passed by the legislature out there, and now their Senate is looking at it. We'll talk more about that when we come back. 888-589-8840. Back Sandy Rios in the Morning with Fred right after the break.
Sheila from Tennessee attended one of the town hall meetings hosted by Dan Celia. She left thinking about different ways to handle her finances.
Dan Celia spoke a lot about tithing and being faithful to the Lord, and I definitely intend on getting in on this charitable gift annuity, which I've never done, but it sounds so exciting. Listening to him in there, it made me reevaluate my way of spending money, my way of doing, and it shows you that a little bit can go a long way when you place it in the Master's hands. So what we need to do, and what I intend on doing, is taking the little bit and making it be worth much for the Lord.
Find out if a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation is right for you at 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345, or email foundation@afa.net.
Hi, this is Ron Ball, and this is your Choose Greatness Minute. On a stormy night off the coast of England, a helicopter crashed. All the people were clinging to the wreckage, hoping for rescue. A signal had been sent just before the copter hit the sea. One woman encouraged the other passengers by telling them, "Don't worry, Matt will come." Well, Matt did come. He commandeered a lifeboat, brought his compatriots, and rescued everyone on that sinking helicopter. Matt holds the record of most rescues in the history of the United Kingdom. You need to be dependable like Matt. That woman was sure Matt would come to the rescue. And you need to have the same attitude of greatness. You need to come to the rescue of your family, your country. You need to come to the rescue. You need to come now. Learn more at choosegreatness.com, choosegreatness.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. Preschoolers in Georgetown, Massachusetts are no longer permitted to have best friends. That's the rule at Pentucket Workshop Preschool. 4-year-old Julia Hartwell was told by her teacher best friends are a no-no. Her mother thought that was just absurd, so she reached out to the school. The principal explained that even when used in a loving way, the phrase best friend can make other children feel excluded. They fear that best friends could lead to the formation of cliques. Instead, the school wants children to have a broader group of friends to encourage inclusivity. Honestly, it sounds like a grade A load of socially engineered fertilizer to me, shoveled by a bunch of highbrow intellectuals who probably never even had a best friend. But it's part of a growing trend among public schools to dissuade kids from having BFFs or besties. Quite frankly, the attack on best friends does not seem all that friendly. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. 888-589-8840. Talking in the last segment about this judge's decision yesterday. Basically, he wants to put a hold on the president's ability to end DACA. Now, that was a date that was put on months ago. And remember, the president was willing to give a pathway to legalization for 1.8 million of these young illegal immigrants. But Congress turned them down. Remember that. Now you have Nancy Pelosi giving us a theological lecture on how we should not be opposing DACA. That's anti-Christian. Now, what I want to talk to you about before we go to the phones, 888-589-8840, is this bill that is making its way through the legislature in California. It's AB 2943, and basically it is utilizing the state's existing consumer fraud statute to penalize religious freedom and free speech. The bill adds sexual orientation change efforts to the state's Consumer Legal Remedies Act. Now, we've heard this song before, folks. Basically, what they want to outlaw is any person who would counsel someone, either now through speech or selling a book that says to a person who has temptations towards homosexuality that it is a temptation to sin, but there's a way out through Jesus Christ. Now listen to what Assemblyman Al Marasucci said to this, to the concerns that are being expressed by Christians in California about this bill. Here's what he had to say, folks. Listen to this. The faith community, like anyone else, needs to evolve with the times. All right? So you just got to change your theology. You just got to change your biblical views. In fact, I think what he's saying is put the Bible aside and get with it. And it goes on to say, the science is clear. The claim that the First Amendment can be used as a defense for promoting what he calls fraudulent conduct is a fallacious argument, end quote. Now, that is from an elected member of the California legislature. Now listen to the warning words coming from many clergy out there, including Dr. Paul Chappelle. He's the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and the president of the West Coast Baptist College. This is an encroachment by the state, Chappelle said on Todd Sorensen's radio show yesterday. It's time for Christians all across America to recognize it's an attack on our faith. It's an attack, and it's always an attack against Christians, folks, and Christian values and biblical values. And Pastor Chappelle is exactly right. If you think this is kind of thinking is going to be confined to California, think again. We're already seeing this thinking in Washington, D.C. Just in the last few weeks, Democrat Senator Cory Booker, in questioning the president's nominee to be Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, questioning him, Cory Booker, questioning him on where he stands with regards to homosexual marriage. Cut number three.
You said in a speech that mourning in America that endorses perversion and calls it an alternative lifestyle, those are your words. Is being gay a perversion?
Senator, I when I was a politician, I had a very clear view on whether it was appropriate for two same-sex persons to marry. I stand by that.
So you do not believe it's appropriate for two gay people to marry?
Senator, I continue to hold that view. It's the same view.
And so people in the State Department, I met some in Africa, that are married under your leadership, you do not believe that that should be allowed?
Senator, I believe it's the case. We have married gay couples at the CIA. You should know. I treated them with the exact same set of rights.
Do you believe that gay sex is a perversion? Yes or no?
Senator,
Do you believe that gay sex is a perversion? Because it's what you said here, Senator, in one of your speeches. Yes or no? Do you believe gay sex is a perversion?
Senator, I'm going to give you the same answer I just gave you previously. My respect for every individual, regardless of their sexual orientation, is the same.
So I will conclude by saying,
if I'm confirmed,
I will conclude by saying, sir, you're going to be Secretary of State of the United States at a time that we have an increase in hate speech and hate actions against Jewish Americans, Muslim Americans, Indian Americans. Hate acts are on the increase in our nation. You're going to be representing this country and their values abroad in nations where gay individuals are under untold persecution, untold violence. Your views do matter. You're going to be dealing with Muslim states and on Muslim issues.
All right. Bottom line is that Democrat Senator Cory Booker was putting up a litmus test for this nominee to be the next Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. He was putting up a litmus test. By the way, if the candidate to be Secretary of State was a Muslim, I doubt very much he would have got the same questions from Cory Booker, because Muslims also take a stand against homosexuality, except they believe in killing them. But you never would have heard of that from Cory Booker. He was putting up a litmus test against this Christian. We've heard it before. Don't have time to play this morning. Bernie Sanders and his inquisition of a young man, a graduate from Wheaton College, who is a Trump nominee to work in the budget department of the administration. And basically, Bernie Sanders put him in the hot chair about his belief in the exclusivity of the gospel. And Bernie Sanders concluded that if you believe in the exclusivity of the gospel, in other words, that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, Bernie Sanders said you are not fit to work for the federal government. So it is not just this legislation being considered in California, folks. This is taking hold across the country. And because the mainstream media does not call these people out, they feel comfortable doing it right now. They feel comfortable in attacking conservative biblical Christianity. All right, let's go to our phones. Let's go first to Sherlinda in Texas. I believe that. Do I have that right?
Yes, you do. That's right.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I have a personal statement to make before I say something about Pelosi.
Okay.
I am going to stand for God no matter what it costs me, no matter what happens.
Amen.
And I think that Nancy Pelosi cannot make a statement like that if she was a Christian. I mean, I don't know. I don't know her heart. I can't judge her. Only God can do that. But I don't see how she could make statements that she makes and hold the views that she holds. Her and Obama and George Soros and all of the others. Okay, I just don't see how they can do it and call themselves a Christian.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the whole point in this. They wrap themselves or attempt to wrap themselves in some biblical belief that it is okay for people to stream across our southern border. Listen, God created nations. That's what the Bible teaches, folks. God created nations. And nations are allowed to establish laws, which include borders, which say we're going to let people in. And this country has been amongst the most generous countries in the world and continues to be when it comes to refugees, when it comes to people immigrating to this country. We are extremely generous. But what we've been trying to do under President Trump, what the country's been trying to do under President Trump, is curtail the open border, our open southern border. Come on, folks. 1,000 people a day coming in. There are places, if you haven't seen the pictures even lately, that's why we're sending the National Guard down there. They just come across the Rio Grande because there's places in the Rio Grande where you can walk across the waters and only up to your knees. Remember 2 weeks ago, in one day after we put some National Guard troops down on the Mexican border in Texas, 340 pounds of drugs, illegal drugs, one day. 340 pounds, not ounces, 340 pounds of illegal drugs caught just in one day. And this has been going on for years, folks. And Democrats and some of the Republican sympathizers who work with the Democrats, they don't have a problem with this. Talking about the future of our country, folks. Kevin in Indiana. Go ahead, Kevin. Welcome to the program.
Hey, I'll just kind of speed lightning through it all. As far as Nancy Pelosi, Nancy, when you say it's not okay to kill babies anymore, you can talk about being Christian. Okay. Bernie Sanders and Mr. Booker, is that the senator's name?
Yes, sir.
Right. You preach inclusiveness, but you certainly don't walk the walk, do you? Okay?
Yeah.
And as for the gentleman out there in California who says we need to get with the times, are you referring to the last million years or just the little five-minute bubble you live in?
Yeah, that's the point, Kevin. I guess this assemblyman in California, Al Mirasucci, his name is, and I just want to repeat that statement because our caller referred back to it. This assemblyman in California, who's obviously in favor of this bill for putting restrictions on pastors, Christian bookstores, from even saying or selling books, which would encourage people to look at the sin of homosexuality as exactly that, as a sin that God can deliver you from. They're trying to bring in a law in California that basically would put a bridle on pastors, outlaw what they could say, even from quoting from Scripture. This is the danger of this bill. And this assemblyman said, The faith community, like anyone else, needs to evolve with the times. Breaking news this morning, folks. We serve a God who doesn't change. That's what makes him God in his sovereignty. He does not change. Nor is God schizophrenic. He doesn't say one thing and then change his mind. That's the God that we serve. Kevin, thank you for your call. All right, Mike in Virginia. Mike, welcome to the program. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Fred. You know, listen, I sent a message to Donald, but I'm not like on speed dial and we don't have cookouts or anything like that. So I haven't gotten a reply back. Surprise, surprise. But, you know, as Christians, we do this thing called tithing. I was just wondering if we should sidestep Congress completely. And if we, even if there was a million of us that gave $100 a month, you realize that's $100 million a month of construction. Mm-hmm. And so it would be nice if we could somehow join together. You know, you guys are real good at getting people mobilized. And if we could mobilize even a million people to give $100 to Donald every single month, he could get his construction crews rolling and just start building the wall without Congress. Yeah. Bypass them. They're useless anyway. They've proven it over and over and over ad infinitum, ad nauseum. They're just in the way. They're an impediment. So if there would be a way that you guys have the influence to influence our president, I think it'd be a brilliant idea. Of course, most people think their own ideas are brilliant. But anyway.
Okay, Mike. Mike from Virginia, thank you very much. Hey, listen, bro. A lot of people have that sentiment right now. They understand the kind of opposition our president is facing, President Trump is facing, for simply wanting to secure our southern border. And again, it's not about stopping immigration. It's not about helping some refugees. It's about better vetting of refugees coming into this country. Remember, under President Barack Obama and further back, we had this lottery. Spin the wheel. You get in just because your name comes up. That's what this is all about, this vetting. And securing our southern border, something has to be done, folks, or there's not going to be anything left to this country. I think we have time for one more call. Do we, Rob? One more call? All right, let's go. Let's go to David in Tennessee. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good morning. You're doing a great job this morning. I'm enjoying it. But the you know, I listened to that interchange between the senator and Mr. Pompeo when he stated, you know, you're going to represent the American people to all these Muslim countries. Mm-hmm. It would have been great if Mr. Pompeo had come back and said, so you want me to say on public TV that I disagree with 99% of all Muslims on the homosexual marriage part? Mm. Senator, that would be as foolish as your question.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, David, when you hear these exchanges, I'm not sure if you remember the exchange between Bernie Sanders and this young man, graduate from Wheaton College, where Bernie Sanders basically said, because this young man believes in the exclusivity of the gospel, he's not fit for a federal government. When you hear that in the United States of America, how do you respond?
Well, normally, I do enjoy these debates, especially at work. Mm-hmm. But I normally say, so you want me to be inclusive of your beliefs, but you don't want to be inclusive of my beliefs.
Yeah.
Isn't that being exclusive?
Yeah.
And it's just that simple.
Yes, you're exactly right. The hypocrisy of the argument from the other side is absolutely amazing, folks. All right, David, thank you so much. You know, those calls that we just had, the four or five we just had in the last few minutes, I think represents the constituency out there that still stands with President Donald Trump. I think you see a demonstration of that when he goes out and has these town hall meetings and you still see people showing up. It's the kind of thing that the Democrats also know. They're going to run into trouble in this fall's election, because the American people are often more honest, smarter than what we're seeing in our lawmakers in Washington. All right, listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning, Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy this morning. Got a special guest coming up to give us the temperature in Washington, D.C., our good friend Gary Bauer, right after the break. As I say, Sandy Rios in the Morning for this Wednesday. We're back right after the break.
A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. In an interesting turn of events, regressive comedian who's no friend of President Trump, Trevor Noah, recognized the walking hypocrisy that is James Comey. You can't present yourself as the lofty and noble patriot and still profit from a salacious book called Higher Loyalty. Noah said, Comey's pettiness hurts his credibility. You can't take the high road and the low road at the same time. Comey has lobbed barbs at President Trump to sell books, not to protect the Republic. His loyalty is to his pockets.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Who is God? What is He like? How can we know? Your answer to these questions will impact your worship, discipleship, apologetics, and evangelism. Learn from Ravi Zacharias, Josh McDowell, Chip Ingram, and more than 60 other speakers at Southern Evangelical Seminary's 25th Annual National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 12th and 13th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Homeschool and other discounts are available. Save more when you register by May 1st at ses.edu.
Jeremiah 20 verse 9 says, His word was in my heart like a burning fire. Hi, this is Alex McFarland, co-host of Exploring the Word. You know, I was in my second year of college as a new believer when God put in my heart an insatiable desire to read His word. And that daily reading of God's word has shaped who I am. And every day on Exploring the Word, Bert Harper and I teach the word so that fire and love for Scripture will be in your heart as well.
Exploring the Word, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
Hi, I'm Jan Harper. If you're a pastor's wife like me, you probably know what it feels like to live in a fishbowl. You know, that feeling like everybody is watching your every move?
The annual AFA Pastor and Wife Fishbowl Retreat is 3 days and two nights of relaxation and building relationships. The retreat is hosted by Pastor Bert Harper of Exploring the Word and his wife Jan. Special guest speakers will include AFR morning personality J.J. Jasper and his wife Melanie. The AFA Fishbowl Retreat is set for October 9 through 11 at the Linden Valley Conference Center in Linden, Tennessee. Call 800-326-4543, extension 300 for registration and information. That's 800-326-4543, extension 300. Or visit repairingthefoundations.net. Registration is limited to the first 35 couples.
Get out of the fishbowl and into the AFA Pastor and Wife Fishbowl Retreat. We'll see you there.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Historically, presidents of both parties have determined who can come to the United States. That's because the founders and Congress have wisely given the nation's chief executive the authority to make that call. Donald Trump ran for the White House, pledging to stop importing radical Islamic terrorists, an eminently sensible, necessary, and very popular idea. To do so, President Trump decided to restrict immigration from failed and hostile majority Muslim nations that had been recognized as problematic by Barack Obama, until a way can be found to differentiate obvious foes from potential friends. But Mr. Trump's sensible and needed restrictions have been repeatedly countermanded by overreaching federal judges with their anti-constitutional rulings. The Supreme Court will review such judicial misconduct today and must affirm the president's unique authority to protect our country from would-be immigrants who wish us ill. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. Sandy will be back in the chair tomorrow. Hey, I want to remind you, in case you have not been alerted yet, this Friday, April 27th, high schools and many middle schools across the country will be hosting the LGBT movement's annual Day of Silence. Now, this has been around for a few years, folks. You may be familiar with it, but basically it's this. During the all-day event, this is not happening, we're not saying at all high schools and middle schools, but many across the country, during this all-day event, student activists and even school officials encourage students to be silent for the entire day has a sign of solidarity with the international LGBT movement. Students are encouraged to wear special pro-homosexual badges, stickers, and bracelets, which are often handed out at the school entrances that day. There are also pro-LGBT posters in the hallways, handouts, and even workshops. So there you have it. So at many of these schools, they're going to be allowed, the students, to stay silent. Don't have to say anything that day. Just sit there. Don't have to participate in class, all with the endorsement of the administration of the school. They will not be chastised or disciplined for this behavior. The school allows it. In fact, many teachers will participate and encourage it. And so that's why a lot of groups across the country are saying to parents of Christian students, maybe you want to keep your kids home that day instead of subjecting them to this pro-homosexual day on these campuses, high school campuses, and some middle school campuses. So just be aware of this. Need to find out about it, folks. If the school where your kids go, public schools, are going to participate in this Friday, April 27th. You need to find out. Now, when you call the schools many times and you ask them about Day of Silence, they're basically, a lot of them are going to plead ignorance on this. No, we're not organizing it. But they do allow it. There's a difference. They can say we're not organizing it, but they do allow it. Can you imagine if there was a day for Christians to share their faith? You think that'd be allowed at our schools? But that's just more of this homosexual leftist activist agenda that's going on out there. All right, let's head up to Washington right now. Talk to our good friend, Gary Bauer, Campaign for Working Families. Always a pleasure to have you join us, Gary Bauer. Good morning.
Good to be with you, Fred, as always.
Oh, I tell you what. Hey, listen, before we went to the break, we were talking about this piece of legislation that it's making its way through the legislature there in California, AB 2943, which a lot of pastors there and now across the country, as they're learning about it, they believe this is legislation, nothing short of muzzling pastors and perhaps outlawing books and banning books that would counsel people, give people the biblical viewpoint on homosexuality.
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, Fred, if you take a second and look at the bigger picture, and this might be a great thing to remind people about. In California, the left is completely triumphant. I mean, this is what we could have faced in November of 2016 if Hillary Clinton had won the presidency and the left had taken back the House and the Senate. So we don't have to guess what would have happened. We can watch it happen in California, where the Republican Party has basically been laid low. The left controls the universities, all the major media outlets. They've got Hollywood, Silicon Valley. They've got massive majorities in the state legislature and a Democrat governor. And what they are building in California looks more like Venezuela than it does the United States of America. Hmm. And the example you just gave is a great example, but there's dozens of them. It's California saying that they won't cooperate with the federal government on illegal aliens that have committed crimes. It's all kinds of junk in the schools. The list goes on and on and on. So as Americans go into this important congressional elections this November, that the Republican Party ought to remind them what happens when the left gets control, and what happens is California and people are leaving it in droves.
Yeah, it's just amazing to me, and we played a clip of the Cory Booker Inquisition of Mike Pompeo there a few weeks ago during the Senate hearing for confirmation for Secretary of State. And Cory Booker just was very comfortable in basically chastising Mike Pompeo for his beliefs on Christian biblical marriage.
Yeah, you know, it's so telling and so revealing. Back in, you know, ancient times, around 10 years ago, when the gay rights movement was demanding vociferously that we change the definition of marriage, one of the arguments that was the center of their argument was live and let live. And a lot of Christian young people particularly fell for the argument. And basically what they said is, look, we're not going to affect you or your marriage. You can marry who you want, as you've always been able to. We just want to be able to legalize the love that we have for each other just like you do. So, you know, stay out of our bedrooms, you know, just tolerate us. That's what America's all about. Well, unfortunately, we lost the debate. The courts forced same-sex marriage on us. And look at what's happening now. Suddenly, all the conversation about tolerance and live and let live, that's all gone. Now it's, how dare you do this? How dare you teach your children what Christianity says marriage is? How dare you try to be Secretary of State if you believe that marriage was intended to be between a man and a woman? It is anything but live and let live. It is using the full power and force of the federal government to come down on the heads of every believer and demand their acquiescence, demand that if they're a photographer or a florist or some other type of business that would be involved in weddings, demanding that they must participate in same-sex marriages. So it's really interesting how often the left, very wisely from their standpoint, uses the language of tolerance for an agenda that is really one of the most discriminatory and intolerant agendas that you could imagine.
You know, Gary, I'm troubled by the element within even the evangelical community that continues to fight against President Trump's effort to support religious freedom, to finish a wall on our southern border, to put restrictions in place for immigration. And there's a court case on this today with regards to refugees, immigrants coming into this country. Are you troubled by the fact the president not only has opposition from Democrats, the mainstream media, some of his Republican colleagues, but also there's this element in the evangelical community that really has come out? And I'm thinking about the Wheaton meeting last week and other groups, the Gospel Coalition. They are against this president as well. How do you explain that?
Well, I think it's another example of their political liberalism overcoming the teachings of our faith. I remember a number of years ago, it wasn't that long after 9/11, I went to Wheaton and debated Tony Campola about war and peace and what was America's appropriate response to radical Islam that had declared war on Judeo-Christian civilization. And I have to tell you, Fred, I was astonished at some of the things Tony Campola said. One of them was that he feared John Ashcroft, who was then Attorney General, and was well-known as being a believing Christian, an evangelical, a really wonderful man. Tony Campola said he feared Attorney General, the Attorney General, more than he did Osama bin Laden. And about half the student body at Wheaton applauded that. So there is, you know, there is a fever out there it's hard to describe it, but it isn't limited to one area. Now, I'm heartened by the fact that more evangelicals, a greater percentage of evangelicals voted for Donald Trump and Mike Pence than had voted for any previous conservative president. And I think that's because they realize what some of these people on the evangelical left don't realize, which is that if the other side had won this presidential election and the seat that had been occupied by Scalia was filled by Hillary Clinton, there is absolutely no doubt that religious liberty, as we have understood it in this country from the very beginning of the country, would have been a thing of the past.
We only got a few minutes left here, Gary, so I want to talk to you a little bit about the leading stories this morning. The latest news on this Columbia law professor, a good friend of James Comey. He is the guy who facilitated James Comey wanting to leak the memos that Comey took during his conversation with President Trump. We now know that this Columbia law professor, Daniel Reichman, was given a special status at the FBI by James Comey, and that also he was given talking points with regards to the Hillary Clinton email investigation, which we assume was passed on to the mainstream media. And yet James Comey is still being treated like a hero in the mainstream media.
Yeah, you know, the more we learn, the more disturbing it is about what was going on inside of our intelligence agencies and the degree to which the Obama administration politicized those agencies and used them as a weapon against the opposition party, the Republican Party, and their nominee, Donald Trump, and Mike Pence. This is the kind of stuff, Fred, that really threatens the future of a constitutional republic. If the left, you know, we saw them politicize the IRS, where they were doing audits and denying tax-exempt status to conservative groups during the Obama years. No one ended up going to jail for that. That is a violation of the law to do that. Now we're seeing day by day more and more evidence that they took important institutions like the Justice Department itself and the FBI and perhaps security agencies like the CIA, and by putting key political operatives in various positions and identifying officials in those agencies that were sympathetic to the left, use them to politically harm the opponents of the administration. This ought to disturb every American, including our Democrat friends, because if this is okay, then when a future Republican administration does it against liberals, how will they make an argument against it? This should never be done. Some things in government must be neutral in political partisanship, and they took the most sensitive agencies and made them almost like divisions of the Democratic National Committee.
Is Attorney General Jeff Sessions doing enough to curtail this kind of garbage?
Yeah, I got to be honest with you, Fred. I'm disappointed. I've he's a friend of mine. I've worked with him over the years. We were in New York on election night and ran into each other at the party at the hotel that night, the Trump party. And he said to me, Gary, this is going to be such an opportunity. The things we'll be able to do for conservatism, it's just going to be amazing. We got to get together and talk it through, you know. And I said, that would be fantastic. Well, you know, we didn't really get a chance to have a long conversation, but I don't understand some of the things I see happening and some of the things that are failing to happen at the Justice Department right now. So I hope it'll all become clearer later why some of these decisions have been made.
Gary Bauer, Campaign for Working Families. Where can people go? I know you have a great daily email you put out. Tell us how we can get that.
You can go to ouramericanvalues.org and sign up for the email, or you can follow me on Twitter, Gary Bauer, and would love you to have you do that. We're getting a big following, and we talk about a lot of these things every day.
Amen. Gary Bauer, always a pleasure and a blessing to talk to you, sir. Thank you so much.
You too, Fred. God bless.
Have a good day. All right, folks, and you folks have a good day, too. We always like to start your day, get you going this morning, give you some things to talk about around the cooler, if anybody does that anymore. I'm really aging myself by saying that. Hey, listen, have yourself a great day. Fred sitting in for Sandy. Sandy will be back tomorrow. God bless you all. Take care. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.